Welcome to Talk It Out with Dr. Vince. This show is dedicated to the LGBTQ community and their friends. Join us as we discuss ongoing issues and continue to explore the life within our great community.
Welcome to Talk It Out with Dr. Vince. Today, I want to share a special interview we did recently that was broadcasted on WRHU. Please enjoy. Hello, good morning, good afternoon. This is Dr. Vince Pellegrino, professor at Hofstra University since 1992, and doing this show at Hofstra University since April of 2011. Long time. So I just wanted to update everybody with what's going on. I'm getting older. I am being assisted by my dear friend Kathleen. She's the operations manager at WRHU. And, John Mullen runs the studio now that Bruce has passed, and we miss him dearly. And I just wanted to reach out today on just update what's going on in the world today with this is 2024. And, as I said, I've been doing this show since 2011, so a lot has changed. But for the good, even though I question, who we're going to have for our next president, I pray to God that it's going to be the good man that's on right now. And, but again, I just worry about the planet and what's going to happen in the future. But for today, I just want to talk a little bit about gay films. And I know it's the LGBTQ and all that, but, for me, my life, I've been out since, 1974, long time, living an authentic gay life and just proud of it. And challenging at times, I could say now, especially now at a certain age, men in the 70s, still teaching here at Hofstra University. But, meeting men in today's world online is not the most enjoyable experience. A lot of, we call them flakes. People don't follow through. They're just like, hello, hi, you look hot, blah, 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 blah. No, I would love to find a romance, a partner. And I think we're all looking for that. Doesn't matter where we are. So thank all of you for listening to the shows and on podcast now. Thanks to my dear friend Christian Ledikovsky. We're now on all the platforms, and this show will be on the platform probably in the next week or so. And I'm going to follow this with another show dealing with bullying and how gay men and members of the LGBTQ community are still being treated. And so stay tuned for that as well. But I'd like to focus a little bit about gay films and gay actors or actors who are now, not necessarily gay, playing gay roles. But again, a lot of my members of my community feel that, gay actors should be doing the gay roles. No, that's not the way it should be. It's, an actor who has skills, an actress who has skills to play a lesbian, and doesn't have to be that role. It's method acting. We can get into the roles. So I've played, it's funny, the lines that I've had in films, Dog Day Afternoons, 9 1/2 weeks, were all, hey, F-A-G. I didn't, but it was my lines. Sonny was in Dog Day Afternoon, came out as gay in the film. And his boyfriend showed up, who was transgender. That was in 1974, groundbreaking. And then in 1990s, 9 1/2 weeks with Kim Basinger, Mickey Rourke dressed her up as a guy. And they were walking in the streets holding hands. And I was a thug in a car screaming, hey, F-A-G. So again, not my favorite lines, but again, it's interesting. It's ironic. Here I am as a gay man saying lines like that I still get paid for, so.
How does that feel, though, to be an actor but knowing you're gay and then having that be your line? Do you wrestle with that?
To me, it's a character. It's a playing a role. An angry man. Both guys who I played, I was in charge of all the street action and Dog Day Afternoon. So when we found out, they dragged out his boyfriend, who Chris Sarandon played it brilliantly, and such a nice man. Oh my God, what a sweetheart! Al Pacino was a little weird, he was very method, and he was in his role, so he didn't really interact with money. I mean, I was on the movie set for a month. Yeah, a month. I was cast as the young lout, and Sidney Lumet, God bless him. really appreciated my energy and everything, and he made sure I got into the Screen Actors Guild. And even though the movie, they had to pay some sort of fine at that time, but we really appreciated that. And he was, but playing that, saying that line, well, it's a line, you know what I'm saying? And my line was, Sonny, Sonny, give me the money, you know, because he was giving money out to people, but, you know. It was a wonderful experience, and I'll always remember it. I was getting my master's degree in theater education at NYU at the time. It was really quite wonderful, you know. But it was, yeah, it, you know, and then the 9.5 weeks, I mean, Kim Basinger was, you know, taught him how to make her look like a man.
Right.
But, again, he had her dressed up in a suit, you know, with a mustache, and then, you know, she turns around and gives me the finger, and then, you know, apparently, you know, a bunch of us go after them, you know, so. And there was a fight scene where she hit me in the head with something, you know, whatever. It was all funny. And it was, you know, it was a kind of a, if you know the movie, it was kind of a very, she finally broke up with him. He was very, he had a lot of demons in him. And I think it's, talking about ironic, because he, you know, Mickey Rourke has been, after, you know, his career kind of fell away. I mean, he did a brilliant job on, I think he just did something with the Immortals. And before that, he was in another, the Wrestler movie.
Yes, that was a great movie.
Yeah. So, and he was nominated, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
He was.
But for a while there, he couldn't work.
Right.
Because he had his demons. You know, one thing I can say about the gay community, there's still, in the LGBT community and society as a whole, there's still a lot of alcohol, you know, drugs that still proliferate in the society. I don't indulge with that kind of thing. I do enjoy a lovely cocktail once in a while. But no, it's just playing those roles. And I was watching, I was on social media this morning. I was looking and doing a Google search, and it popped up. It always does because, well, it knows me and it knows what stories I like. But it did an investigation of 10 actors throughout, you know, history in the past 100 years who were gay, you know, but had to hide it because of the shame.
Like Rock
Jimmy
Hudson.
James Dean, Montgomery Clift. Both of them hid their sexuality, you know, never. They kind of innuendo, they made comments. But back then I was watching, the most recent thing I've been watching was Fellow Travelers. I don't know if you saw that. It's with Matt Bomer and Jonathan Bailey, a wonderful, wonderful series. They had like 8 shows, and it covered the Lavender Scare, which was going on at the same time as the communist.
Right, the Red Scare,
The
yes.
Red Scare, right, right. And so Matt Bomer was in the State Department, and so he had to really get a cover. And everybody, he had friends who also were associated with, and they had a cover, and some of them were outed and, you know, in this very sad, this lesbian couple who were loving, very loving, and they got, the one partner got, you know, I mean, they went into their apartments, they went through their underwear drawer, they tried to find things related to their relationship, you know, they questioned why there are no photographs. It was just so, to watch that, you know, I was born in that era, you know, but again, I didn't, you know, but again, then it ends. Well, then it went into the 70s, which I totally related to.
Right.
And houses in Fire Island. Where Matt Damon had a house and Jonathan Bailey came to see him. But, you know, their relationship was so fraught with tension. He was married. He was one, you know, with this senator's daughter. And I felt sorry for her because I always felt in these movies, the heroine or whatever, she's going through such angst. And you saw that. Did you see Maestro?
I've seen parts of it, but I haven't seen the whole thing. But
Carey Mulligan was amazing,
yes, yeah,
playing the suffering, long-suffering right. wife. Of Leonard Bernstein, who was gay. You
know? Right.
I mean, he may have dabbled into bisexuality. I've been engaged myself. I was, you know, and been with my, you know, several women. But again, I, you know, it's not a choice. You know, that's one thing people really have to understand. You know, I mean, it's a great struggle sometimes, you know, coming out and you knowing that you're going to bring shame to your family. And my mother would tell everybody, oh, I was hoping to have his grandchildren. And, you know, now my nephew, my brother's son, he had three boys. So there are plenty of Pellegrinos and all Michael Vincenzo and, Enzo, named after Lorenzo, and Nino. I said, we're going to do an Italian movie now, you know. So my mother's smiling down in heaven because she got her, hey, there are your boys. She was alive still when one of them were born.
Oh, okay.
So she was able to enjoy that. But no, I mean, so watching these films, it just, you know, I mean, at the end of Fellow Travelers, I don't want to, you know, but he goes to the quilt, a memorial quilt, an AIDS quilt.
Yes.
And I remember being there. I remember going there because I had lost, you know, partners and best friends and all that stuff. And I still remember them. I still remember their scare. I remember them being terrified. I remember them being in the hospital bed, you know, and I just, you know, think about that. I'm still here, knock on wood. And, you know, but again, it's now I just like, I'm not looking to, what do you call, hook up.
Right.
You know, what these sites are all about, you know, you know, even these dating sites, they're like, you know, I'm into this and into that. I said, where's the love?
Right.
Where's romance?
Right.
I mean, you're a lady, you know, you've got five children, you're happily married.
Yes.
You know, so you don't even, but you've sorted.
I luckily missed out on the online dating. I don't think I could do it. I know friends that I have that are straight, that are single now, and even them, they're like, you're missing something. Like it's like you're getting the, you know, kind of Instagram version of the person. So you're seeing everything like that up front, but then you're missing that spark.
Yeah, it's
right.
Like impossible. It's like texting and trying to express right. Emotion in a text.
Yeah,
I hate when people do that. You know, I mean, I'm old school. I like face to face, or
right.
Or even the phone. Or I'll do Instagram. I'll do what is called FaceTime.
Right.
Though I don't like the way I look on camera. You know, I mean, you know, it doesn't seem flattering.
Right.
You know, but
I feel like the organic quality is missing.
Yes. Yes.
Because
yes.
Even my sister, who's married now, but. You know, she was single and she was, you know, verging on 30. So, you know, so she went on the apps and she just couldn't do it because you're missing that. You know?
Which app was she on?
I don't remember, but this was a few years ago. But yeah, but you know how it is. It's like.
I do. I mean, it's like even you think that these people are looking for romance and then there's this thing called Silver Daddy. I'm not looking for a boy.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm not looking to support anybody else.
No.
I did that enough. You know, I married or got involved with men who are like boys. You know, and I felt like they needed me.
Right.
And it made me feel powerful. You
right.
know? But it turned out, didn't work out well because the boys are boys, you know, and they don't grow up.
Exactly.
And so anyway,
you want companionship.
I would like, well, I have friends. I have friends that I see, you know, one's in a relationship with someone who's much younger, but he's been on the show. But I have another friend that likes them younger. You know?
Right,
so,
right.
It's just, you know, it's the way of the world. I'd like to find someone that I'm attracted to that also likes the gym and fit but also has a sense of humor and is romantic and loves to go to the theater and dinner and,
right.
you know, and all that other thing. I don't know. I don't think it's impossible, but sometimes I think it is.
I mean, you're a real catch, Dr. Vince.
Oh,
so I don't know.
See, I always get compliments from women. That's the thing. from men that I'm not attracted to. You know, I mean, who are very kind and all this, but I, you know, I have to, when I look in a relationship, I want to know if there's going to be chemistry, you know. When
do you find that because of the AIDS crisis, though, that, I mean, a generation of you and your fellows are lost to time. So there's older gay men are a smaller population, unfortunately, because of that. Do you find that?
Like acting.
Right.
You know, it's just less roles for us, you know.
Right.
It's, yeah, I mean, yeah, we lost a lot. I mean, we lost, God, I don't know the numbers. All I know at the end of the movie of Fellow Travelers, which showed the quilt from 87 or something like that, 87 to like 2012, and it took up the whole mall, you know. And I had two friends, David, I could say his name, David Fields and Tommy Popham. And Tommy was my boyfriend, my lover, and David was a lover, and we became friends, and they both passed, and terrible. I mean, the way David went in a week, and because he had previously had pneumonia as a child, and then Tommy had brain cancer, you know, so seeing that, and his parents were never left his side, never left his side at St. Vincent's Hospital. And then his bosses, he was working for a conference. They do. So I hit the mic using my hands. They were they. did something where they had board meetings and they provide all the paper and coffee and anything they needed at these conference rooms. And anyway, his owners of this company, they actually got the jet. They had a corporate jet, and they took him with his family to back to Ohio. And that was so wonderful. But no, it's like, yeah, there is less out there. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think a lot of gay men, don't really, work out as much as they could at a certain age. I do. I mean, I try, and I try to watch what I eat. But, sometimes I feel that little, I need, food gives me some comfort.
Absolutely.
And we need that. I'm still solo, and, and I have a dog, who's a love, and but he's getting older as I'm getting older, and I have to face the reality that he's going to be gone at some point. But anyway, going back to the films, you're seeing more young people in the films now. You're not seeing older people, and it's at the end of that Fellow Travelers, you see his aged and Matt Damon, not Matt Damon, Matt Bomer. Did I say Damon? I kept saying Damon. Sorry, Matt Damon. Though he's played gay characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, he played the lover of Liberace in Beyond the Candelabra. So I thought he did a wonderful job. I admire him very much, Matt Damon. No, it was Matt Bomer, and it was Jonathan Bailey. But no, so I'm seeing these films, and so many are coming out that deal with LGBTQ. And a lot of the times, I like romantic comedies. And I want to see romance. I don't want to see the guy die at the end, the victim.
Right.
And you still see that, like Brokeback Mountain. And then there's this new movie that came out. I don't want to say it's, but again, apparently it's a sad movie at the ending. People said they cried their eyes out. I don't want to cry my eyes out. I cried my eyes out enough going through what I went through for reality, and missing them still. And so again, I want to see a gay film that's going to make me happy, give me hope. And I love love. I love watching love stories, male or female, two women, two men. I mean, I love seeing happy endings because we need a lot of happy endings in this world today,
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
I'm the same way.
Well, you're a mother with children, and I want to ask you, do you feel that the visuals they get, like in films and stuff like that, in TV and social media, do you think that, affects them in any way?
Yeah, that's such a tricky one. It's so hard, especially with kids because my kids range in age from, they'll be 12 all the way down to 4. So, you have to worry less about the 4-year-old. So, you can kind of control that a lot more. It's when they get older.
Right.
And then they have access. And then you worry about, well, what are they going to see? And I try to be really open with them, about, what they should be looking at, what they shouldn't be looking at. And I know my time is running out before the stuff they start looking up is...
You still got time.
But
They don't leave the nest that quickly.
Right. It's a really tricky, because you don't want them to see anything. And I feel like people are a lot more worried about they saw two women kiss and what will they think? But I'm more worried about them seeing violence. There was a Thanksgiving Day parade a couple years ago where they had, they do the Broadway and two women kissed in it and people were clutching their pearls, and I was like, I don't even think my kids even it registered for them, but I was like, but they see all these video games with guns and that bothers me more.
Right.
Just abject violence.
Interesting that you brought that up, that image that people were clutching their pearls seeing two women kiss, and yet it's all right to show these movies and TV shows where at least 8 or 9 people died during the course of the thing.
Yes, right, exactly.
I stopped watching FBI because I said they had 6 people die in one show. I said, what the heck? That was so not necessary.
Right,
you know?
I agree.
And then you were supposed to feel sorry for the killer?
No.
It was crazy. I was like, what are we doing here? What are we, raising a plethora of some murderers?
Right.
That it's okay. Well, we do have
we have a big violence problem.
Well, we also have an ex-president said I can shoot somebody in the street and get away with it.
Yeah.
And he's still trying to get away with things.
And the politics, right.
Oh,
I feel like when I was growing up, my dad could say, tonight's the State of the Union address and you should watch it. And then your eyes would glaze over as a child and be so bored. But now it's some sort of WWE production, and you have to be so careful and you don't know what you want them to, what they're going to say. And I feel like the teachers at school can't even say anything about anyone who's the president.
They look like middle school kids.
Right. Yeah, that's how they act.
They act like middle school children.
Correct.
Like, I'm going to sit down in my hands and I'm not going to applaud for the president of the United States because that big orange face thinks that he can tell people what to do.
Right. Yeah.
And who's really wants to be a dictator. So do they want to follow a dictator? I mean, what do we have going on?
And it's so hard to explain.
I was so ashamed to see that. I mean, I couldn't believe even at times, a select time and that Secretary of State making faces like a 12-year-old in the background. But of course, Nancy Pelosi did tear up those papers. So she kind of acted out a little bit, too.
I feel like all of Congress are in
a bunch of childs.
Yeah, they're in a state of, like, arrested development as middle school
as
kids.
As a mother, you would know that.
I would know. Yes, exactly. But
and
that's
as a teacher, I see that.
Right.
Yes, as a,
it's
you know.
It's very interesting to me. I can't imagine the allure
with
of
with all
even
this political correctness.
Right.
And yet you see half the people that represent you
right.
who are sitting on their hands rather than
right. They're like, oh, we should teach third graders to read. And they're like, well, I'm not going to clap for that. I'm like, that's objectively a good thing.
They clap for anything other than maybe something to do with the armed forces or
right, yeah.
or dealing with that woman who's was up on the stands, you know, with the president's wife. I mean, God, I mean – it's like, and Biden just keeps smiling, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, I would be, you know, I would be using a few expletives.
Right.
And I just don't understand. And that woman with the Trump, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right, yeah.
How did she get elected? You know,
right. I just. Apparently, though, there's a rule that says you're not allowed to wear any campaign.
Well, she sure
and
did.
And she showed up, and then I'm like, well, then why did they? If the
she was pushing
says,
the migrant thing,
right?
Even though
yeah.
there's legislation that's been on the books for a year that they won't pass because Mr. Orange Face said he's not going to get it. You know, don't do it. Wait till I get in.
Right.
Then I'll do it, and everybody can cheer.
Right.
It's such manipulation.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, going back to us.
though I do want to ask you a question about the movie thing.
Yeah.
I've heard that people think that gay. Straight actors playing like gay roles is kind of like a like an internalized homophobia because it would be too real if two gay actors played gay roles. Do you agree with that, or have you heard that?
Wow. Well, as an actor, I mean, you know, I played many straight roles,
right?
And does that mean I'm, you know, internalized heterosexual? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like I don't. It's all about the shame. It's all about this is what I wrote my book on. Talk it out, you know, no more gay shame. You know, basically the importance of talking it out, coming out of the closet, let people know who you are. And then they'll say, wait a minute, but you look, you know, they're going to say, oh, I never thought you were gay, you know, whatever that means. I mean, it's like not everybody goes around with a limp wrist screaming. You know, you see and yet this is I've done this show so many times that I brought up the fop, the fop from 16th century. From the theater, you know, William Wycherley and all that, the, you know, the bishops, I remember, I don't know, the Country Wife or whatever it was, I did the play back in college. But you had, you know, this straight actor playing this very, and he did it all the way. He was a great fop, screaming, tall, good looking man, I remember it. Next thing he played was William Saroy in The Cowboy. But
I firmly believe, like, method acting, like, it's acting. It's the craft. It's not about
– it's a skill.
Right.
Like learning how to, you know, build a building or you know, play the market, or, you know, or whatever skills that you learned in order to teach, you know, or whatever it is. It's a skill. And I appreciate – I would like to see more roles for gay men played by gay men because the actors need the work.
Right.
I mean, yes, straight actors do too, but there's, you know, the more things that they, but I was really Coleman Domingo. I was really, that was beautiful at the Oscars. He was holding his husband's hand. And then you had Matt Bomer with his partner. Well, I don't see that often. They keep putting him with Jonathan Bailey because everybody fantasized that they'd be real lovers, you know. I mean, we live our lives vicariously through these roles and we want to have a happy ending because we want a happy ending. So, you know, it's, oh my God, it's already, you know, near time. But we'll continue with this, Kathleen. Thank you for raising that about the internalized homophobia and the clutching the pearls. I mean, I can't believe these two women kissing and they clutch the pearls. I mean, that's a straight man's fantasy.
I would think, yeah.
You know, it just goes to show that we're going backwards because we have someone who's going to be political and wants to be take over the office, who has such calls everybody names.
Right.
Crooked Joe, you know, Sleepy Joe, Crooked Hillary. Blah, blah, blah. You know, he reminds you of a 5-year-old having a tantrum in the grocery store. You know, so, and you want to elect him president. I'm sorry for being political here, but, you know, as a professor of rhetoric, it's an age-old subject, goes back to the time of Aristotle. Ethos, pathos, and logos.
Correct.
Ethos, ethical, character. I was watching American President the other day with Michael Douglas, and he talked about being the president's office is all about character. And here we have a character who wants to be president. So that's what killed. And where's the logos? Where's the facts behind the horrible things this person says? You know, I hear his passion, but it's misdirected. And I'm just, you know, again, I'm just saying, I just want these gay films, the LGBTQ films, again, to make people feel proud for who they are, not to feel ashamed of who they are. So this is Talk It Out with Dr. Vince Pellegrino, with my dear friend Kathleen, running the board. And this is Talk It Out with Dr. Vince. And stay tuned for more shows on subjects that are important for the members of our community and their dear, loving friends and family. Thank you. Signing off.